With that, let's jump into today's word here. We're going to continue in our series, our Christmas series. And I'm going to start off with a verse here for us from Psalm 62, verse 8. And I want to encourage us, read it out loud with me here. Yes, my soul, find rest in God. My hope comes from Him. Truly, He is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge. Amen. Man, that is a great verse, company verse, and just coming after all these prayers and knowing what's going on around the world. But I want to start off my message today with this. It's about pouring out our hearts before God. And we're in our series, if you're new with us or you haven't been here, we're starting a series here in Christmas called Come to Worship. And it's based off a familiar passage of Scripture, Matthew 2:2. This is kind of the cornerstone verse we're going through this month. This is where the Magi came, the wise men. They said, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." A lot of times with Christmas, the season, we think, oh, Jesus, you know, Jesus came from heaven. He came down and he was born. And that means, oh, he's coming to give us something. And, oh, we're going to get presents underneath the tree at this season. And it's, oh, you know, we all love to get gifts. However, this season and this Christmas series, I want to kind of flip the script. What can we do for Jesus? And a lot of times we look at Christmas where Christmas is about us. And even in our culture, it's become very commercialized where it's about what can I get? And there's nothing wrong with giving gifts, right? Or receiving gifts, right? Everybody says amen to that. Everyone loves getting gifts. However, we can give a gift to Christ, which is all of our worship, our whole entire mind, body, soul, and spirit, and worship. And so for this month, we've been talking about come to worship. How can we worship Jesus in this Christmas season? Last week, we talked about raising our hands, open hands. We come with open hands, praising Him. And this week, we're going to talk about pouring out our heart to Him. And so with that, I want to remind us, there's four postures of worship we're going through this month. The first one was open your hands or lift your hands like I talked about. This week, we're going to talk about pour out your heart. Next week, we're going to talk about what does it mean to be on bowed knees? What does it mean to bow your knee and worship Jesus? And the last week, we're going to be talking about bringing gifts. What does that mean to bring a gift to Jesus? Because, you know, what can we really give to Jesus? You know? I mean, He made the air. He made everything we have, our food, clothes, the sunshine. I mean, what can we truly bring as a gift to Him? Well, dun, 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 cliffhanger, stay tuned, come to that message, and we will talk to you and tell you about what gift can you bring to Jesus, all right? It'll be interesting, it'll be a fun one. But those are the four postures of worship we're talking about this month. Lift your hands, pour out your heart, bow knees, and bring gifts. And so with this one, pour out your heart, it may not always be obvious to you. When someone says, have you ever had someone say, hey, pour out your heart to me, or I can tell you're struggling, why don't you just tell me it all? It's not always clear, how much do I tell? What do I do? What does that look like? What does it mean to pour out your heart? You know, when Scripture says, raise your hands, oh, that's an easy one. When Scripture says, sing out loud, well, that's, okay, that's duh, that's easy. When it says, pray to God, okay, I pray to, you know, Yahweh, Jehovah. Okay, that's easy. But what does it mean when Scripture says, pour out your heart before Him? What does that look like? What does that mean? And so that's what today I really want to focus on. So let me say this. When we're blessed, when we've got more than enough, man, when we sense God's presence, man, let's pour out our hearts. However, maybe you're kind of in the middle. Maybe you've had a so-so week. Maybe you're doing okay. I would encourage you to pour out your hearts. Or maybe you're coming here today, and man, it's been a long week. It's been a hard battle. You know, the cat died, your truck broke, the washing machine broke down, you got a leaky roof, I don't know, you got fired from your job. It's been a hard week. Pour out your hearts before the Lord. In all those areas, I want to encourage you to pour out your heart to the Lord. Turn with me to Psalms 142, verses 2 and 5. We're going to be jumping through a lot of the book of Psalms today, so they'll be on your screen, but I encourage you, if you've got your Bible, your scriptures, or you've got your Bible app, turn with me there. Psalms 144, verses 2 and 5. Like I said, we're going to be doing some finger gymnastics here through the Word of God here, through the paper pages here. All right, here we go. Let's dive in here. Pour out our hearts. Psalms 142, verses 2 and 5 says this. It says, I pour out my complaint before Him. Before him, I tell my trouble. I cry to you, Lord. I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. As we begin this series today of this message about come, pour out your heart, we have to remember the wise men were seeking the one who was going to redeem and restore. They were seeking the Messiah, the one who would unite us back to God the Father, who would take away the sin, who would redeem us and take us from death to life. They were looking for the one that we could come to, and we could pray to, we could call upon, because we all needed help. We all needed that refuge, that restoration, that person that would listen to us. Turn with me over to Psalm 62, verse 8. 62, verse 8. And you're going to see this phrase all through Scripture, this pour out your hearts. In Psalm 62, verse 8, it says, "Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge." Now, were the Magi just, the wise men, were they coming just to see a little, you know, Jewish baby boy being born and that was it? I mean, were they just coming because they were bored and they wanted to get out of Persia for a while, get on some camels and bring some, you know, gold and myrrh and just go on a trip? No, they were coming to find the one who would give us ultimate refuge, the one who would shield us, the one who would protect us from the evil one. And this verse right here is a familiar portion of Scripture. Many of us know this one. Trust in him at all times. You people, pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. And I want you to remember these two phrases, pour out your hearts and God is our refuge today. We're going to end this message here talking about what does it mean to have a refuge. Now, you might be asking, Dan, you know, well, what's the definition of a refuge? What is that? Here's three definitions for us we need to know from Scripture. First, a refuge is a shelter or protection from danger or distress. Secondly, a refuge is a place that provides shelter or protection. Many of us know, you know, we have you know, wildlife refugees here and refuges here around Siouxland. So that's one thing, a place where you can't shoot or kill animals, all right? And the last thing is this, a refuge is something to which one has recourse in difficulty. In Scripture, if you remember, there were six Levitical cities that Israelites could run to. If they had murdered someone or they've committed a crime against the moral code or the ethical code of Scripture, they could run to these cities and they would be safe. If you remember it from reading the Old Testament. And so that was one place of refuge. Or maybe, you know, what I would ask us, you know, what was your favorite place of refuge as a child? Was it hiding underneath your favorite blankie? Was it hiding in the closet, you know, when you knew you were in trouble? I mean, for a lot of times, my mouth got me in trouble, and I ran to my safe place, which was not safe at all because my parents would get to me. Or maybe you had a tree house, or maybe you had a neighbor's house you'd run to, or maybe, I don't know, it was some poor, you know, if you, you know, portion of your house, or maybe it was a favorite tree house you'd go out and climb into. That was your refuge. We all have different places of refuge in our lives that we seek. A lot of us, though, a place of refuge is a person. And this Levitical cities, were designed to begin to show that God was going to be our refuge, that he would be our safe place. No matter the sin we committed, Christ could forgive that. And for many of us, we have a person who is a refuge. How many of you have someone that's a trusted friend or a family member you go to in times of trouble? Maybe a mom or dad, a sibling, a spouse. Yeah, that's a place of refuge, someone we can go to. Well, God, our Father, desires him to be that refuge for us. Now, there's nothing wrong with coming here, right? Church can be a refuge, right? When we gather together, man, this is a place where we get to come together and encourage one another, strengthen one another, and say, hey, I've had a hard week. Can you pray for me? Or, hey, can you hold me accountable to the Word of God? But also, and most importantly, God wants to be that refuge for us, period. You know, we talked about before in this last year about turning to other things, you know, things that aren't bad, but they're not the best things for us, instead of turning to God first. And in the Scripture today here, we're going to see here that God wants us to turn to him first and pour out our hearts to him. And so I want to start with this. First point is this. Remember God's faithfulness in the past. How can we pour our hearts out to God? Well, first, I would encourage us. We have to remember what has God done in our past? And what has he done in the past regarding the people of Scripture, our own church, your own family, and what he's done in there in your past? So let's look here. Let's look at Psalms 42. Turn with me over to Psalms 42, verses 3 through 5. A few chapters over here. Psalms 42, verses 3 through 5, and it'll be here on your screen as well. It says, "My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, 'Where is your God?' These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. King David writes a lot of this, and throughout the early Psalms, the first book of Psalms, book one, there's a lot of this familiar verbiage of pour out, why downcast on my soul, put your hope in God. That's a remembrance. That's a psalm of remembrance, of looking back. Now, King David, a lot of times when he wrote, he looked back and said, whoa, God, I remember what you've done in the past, so I can trust you in the future here. In Lamentations 3, verses 19 through 23, it'll be here on your screen here. Jeremiah was the writer of Lamentations, and he wrote this. If you remember the prophet Jeremiah, he was called the weeping prophet. If you remember, he went through a lot of heartache, a lot of things, a lot of toil to help bring the Israelites back to the Father and keep them straight and help them to obey the commands of the Levitical code. But Jeremiah writes here in the book of Lamentations, he writes, he says, I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. He goes, I will remember them and my soul is downcast. Hear that again. My soul cast is down within me. Yet this I call to mind and therefore I have hope. He remembers. He remembers the past to remind him in his current situation, hey, God is still good and he's faithful and he's true. And he says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Man, isn't that a good one? Now, what's interesting, look at Scripture here. God is sovereign. God is eternal. God is immutable. He's huge. He's beyond anything we can think or imagine. And when he writes through his prophet, he didn't say, yet I call this to mind, therefore I have hope, because the Lord is so mean, and the Lord just sticks it to his people, and the Lord just so smashes it down. What did he say? Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. Now, we know God is holy, and sin cannot stand in his presence. However, our God made a way through his Son that came and was born for us to bring us back to life. And this is a remembrance. To pour out your heart is to remember the past and what God has done. And the prophets here remembered what God had did in their lives. So let me ask you this. Has Christ saved you? Has he redeemed you? Has he called you by name? Has he given you a hope and a future? Has he wiped away those things that we don't want anybody to know in our past? Or those secret sins that no one can ever see? Has he wiped those away? Has he answered your prayer? I'm going to raise my hand. Has he provided for you? Man, come on. We're all in here. We all got clothes on. Praise God, right? All right? We have clothes. That's a provision. Man, praise God. We have food. We've got shelter. We have warmth. We've got lights on here. We've got running water. Man, praise God for that. He's provided for us. Have you ever been in a hard place or been going through life and you heard a song on a radio or you heard someone text you, hey, I was thinking about you and here's a Bible verse, or hey, I think you should listen to this. You know, this pastor, you know, had the sermon on YouTube. Why don't you listen to this? And you ever encountered that and boy, it brought your confidence up. You're like, oh, that was a word for me. Oh, boy, that encouraged me today. Or maybe, you know, you open your scripture and you just, how many of you, sometimes you don't feel like reading scripture. I'll raise my hand first. Some days you just, right, we're humans. However, you open up your word and you're like, Lord, I'm going to trust you because you said to know your word. And you read the word and you're like, whoa, you're blown away by that inner presence of the Holy Spirit. That, whoa, God illuminated his word to you and encouraged you. And he gave you that assurity to go out throughout your day. That's remembering his faithfulness and remembering the things that God has done for us. And so my question for us is this. Oops, let me get to the next verse here. There we go. Where has God been faithful to you in your past, your family, this church in this city? Where has God been faithful? To be able to pour out your hearts, first you've got to remember the past. Where has he been faithful to you? These scripture reminds us that in this season of Advent, of his coming, we need to remind ourselves, where has Jesus been faithful to us in our past? Let's continue on here. Second is this, trust in God's power for your future. Trust in God's power for your future. How can you pour out your heart and pour everything out? Is trust in God's power for your future. Turn with me over to Psalms 102. Turn me over to Psalms 102. And we're going to look here. We're going to look here. This psalm is a prayer for the afflicted. This is a psalm for those that are going through hard times. And everyone here, whether you're a child here, a youth, a teenager, and you know, middle age or senior citizen, we've all walked through hard times in our lives. But this psalm is directly reflecting times of hard times. Now, the psalmist here deals with the mental, physical, social, and the spiritual crises that we face throughout our lives and our journeys of walking with Jesus here. In verse 11, he specifically says, my days are like the evening shadow. I wither away like the grass. Wow. That's pretty harsh. How many of you ever just felt like your life was just melting away? There was no hope. Or, you know, you were in a situation, you were like, man, how do I solve this? Either parenting or financial or maybe physical you're going through. You've had someone you're like, or maybe at your job, you're like, I just don't want to deal with this. I don't know how to handle this. I just want to just kind of wither away and be absolved from any of this stuff. This is the context for the psalm. And let's look here. We're going to read through a few verses here. Let's look at verse 1 and 2 here. We're going to kind of do a mashup of some different verses here because we're not going to read the whole chapter. But verse 1 and 2 says, "Hear my prayer, Lord. Let my cry for help come to you. Do not hide your face from me when I am in distress. Turn your ear to me when I call. Answer me quickly. Let's jump down to verse 5 here. Verse 5 says, "In my distress, I groan aloud, and I am reduced to skin and bones." Man, that's a hard life. That's a sad position to be in. Jump down to verse 7. "I lie awake. I have become like a bird alone on a roof." Man, it's a hard time. Verse 8 and 9 here. Let's look at verse 8 and 9. "All day long my enemies taunt me, for I eat ashes as my food and mingle my drink with tears." Man, that's rough. I don't think any of us have been there yet, right? We haven't mingled ashes with our tears. And in verse 12, look at verse 12 here. It says, "But you, Lord, sit enthroned forever. Your renown endures through all generations." And in verse 16 and 17, "He will respond to the prayer of the destitute. He will not despise their plea." Man, isn't that awesome? That our God, when we cry out to him, he responds to us. When we pour out our hearts, he responds. And when we make him our refuge. Now, as we read Psalms 102, if you've read it, man, it ends on a positive note that God is there and that he hears us. And I want to encourage you to this: push through the pain. Push through your pain right now and praise him. Maybe in your season, this Advent coming of Jesus, maybe you're going through a rough time. Push through the pain and remember that God has power for your future. If we can all probably say, if you're here today, that God's done something in your past. Well, if he's done something in your past, then he can do it in the present and in your future. When we respond to in prayer and we respond with calling out to him. Let me ask you this. You know, where do you need to say, "But the Lord"? Where are you at right now? Maybe you're facing something, but you need to say, "But the Lord can do this." Like right now, like this week, I'm going in, I'm getting something checked out in my knee. I'm having some severe pain in my knee. I don't know what's going on. It's level 9, and I feel like, you know, my knee's been destroyed. But I could go in tomorrow to my doctor's appointment and be like, "Well, you know, it's been a good run. It's been a good 44 years, Jesus. I'm coming home to you, you know. I'm just going to get my wheelchair out and just limp along and just, you know, that's it." However, I've seen God heal my body. I've seen God heal my dad. I've seen God heal my wife. I've seen God heal you guys in here. I've seen God heal people across our city from all different churches that said, "I prayed. I said, I don't know what to do. I called on the Lord. I pleaded with him, and he healed my body." And so tomorrow, I'm going to go in. I'm going to say, "You know what, Lord? I've seen you heal me, but the Lord can heal my knee. Yeah, I'm going to go to the doctor. I need to see. Maybe something is wrong with it, maybe. However, God has power for our future." And I want to ask this and say it this way. And maybe for some of us, we need a visual, right? God's been faithful in the past. He's good in the present, and he's going to be with me in the future. He's faithful in the past, good in the present, with me in the future. We can pour out our hearts to God because he is good to us in all these areas together. And so I want to remind us of that. He's faithful in the past, good in the present, and with me in the future. And maybe you need to say, "But the Lord." Maybe you're somewhere at today and you need to say, "But the Lord." You know, yeah, I feel like, whoo, it's been hard. But the Lord is still good to me. Lastly, point number 3 is this: make your cry an offering to God. Make your cry or your plea an offering to God. Now, what do we mean by that? Look here at Lamentations chapter 2, verses 19. It says this. It says, "Pour out your heart like water in the presence of the Lord." What does that mean for us? What does it mean to pour out? How many of you have had a child, they had a full glass of milk, full glass of juice, and they hit it and it poured it out? What happened? It all went everywhere, right? Or you've been at the restaurant. I remember my wife Ginger's been so gracious to me. Parents, did you ever lose it over a child spilling water or milk or juice? I don't know what got me. I'm like, I just lose my mind. I'm like, what is going on? I paid good money for that glass of juice, and it's everywhere now. And it was all, quote, poured out, right? There wasn't a little bit, right? With kids, it goes everywhere. Well, this scripture here in Lamentation, this references the drink offering in scripture, which is from the Old Testament. And the drink offering wasn't just something they poured a little bit on the altar when they would go up to offer a drink offering. It was a complete emptying, a complete going out of whatever that liquid was inside that cup. In Genesis 35, we see the first drink offering was offered by Jacob after God changed his name to Israel. We see that Jacob offered a drink offering before the Lord and poured out this offering on the stones there and pretty much just saying, "Hey, I'm all in. I've been changed. I've been redeemed." The drink offering in Scripture accompanies the grain offering, And also in Luke 22 and John 19, you can go there and see this is where Jesus' death and burial was compared to that pouring out, that drink offering being poured out for us. And like I said, that pouring out, it means all in, right? When we pour something out, when you tip a glass upside down, it all goes out. It goes everywhere. It's an all in and all flowing. And that's what this last thing I want to talk to us about is that, do you pour out your heart like water before the Lord? Or do you come today to church, or maybe in your own, you know, maybe during the week when you sit down and you have time, you pray, or maybe you're driving, you're going to pray to God, and do you go this much, and that's all you give to the Lord? You say, oh, I'm going to give you a little, God, and I'll see if you're good or not. Or I'm going to trust you a little bit. I'm going to pour out this much. Or do you go all the way and empty yourself out before the Lord? Do you give him everything, the good and the bad and the ugly? Have you ever had one of those good old ugly cries? Or ugly prayers, or ugly, you know, where you're just mad, and you're saying, Lord, I'm mad, and then you cry, and then you're like, Lord, I'm so thankful, and then, Lord, why can't you do this, and why, you ever had one of those kind of prayer sessions where you pour everything out before him? That's what this drink offering, this pour out your heart is symbolizing, is do you give the Lord everything, all your emotions, the good, the bad, and ugly, because the Lord can handle it. Now, what he doesn't like is, right, if we always come before him and gripe, right, if every prayer session is a griping and complaining, That's not healthy. That's not biblically sound. However, but if everything is, oh, just happy, you know, joy, Lord, everything's good. It may be, right? If we know the Lord, man, we're good. We're set for eternity. However, we live in a real world, and we see from Scripture here, we see the patriarchs and those that the Scripture says they're in the Hall of Fame. They poured out their hearts. They lamented. And they said, Lord, why am I struggling? We have to encompass all that and give it all to the Lord. Look at Philippians here, verses 2 through 7, chapter 2, excuse me, verses 17 and 18. Let me turn there myself. This is the Apostle Paul, and he's speaking to the young church at Philippi. All right. And here in the New Testament, Paul makes the same reference to this drink offering. And Paul says this. He says, but even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. Paul is saying that even if his whole life is given in the defense, in the proclamation, in the spreading of the gospel, it's worth it. And Paul's saying, even if I give my whole life, even if I'm being poured out in service to you and to those that don't know Christ, he goes, it's worth it. And I rejoice and I'm glad in that. And my question for us today is are you pouring your life out to Christ? Are you pouring out your worship? Are you giving him all when you praise him and when you plead and when you pray and when you worship? Or are you keeping rooms of your heart, rooms of your inner life, your mind, your soul away from him? Are you giving him everything and letting him respond, letting him work according to his will and his power? Are you maybe God's called you to do something here today? Maybe he's given you gifts and talents to spread the gospel, to help one another, and you're just keeping them right here? Or are you taking all those talents and saying, Lord, I'm all in. I'm going to give them all out to you. I don't see how this makes sense. I don't see how this maybe benefits where I'm at currently or benefits this person, but I'm all in. And whatever the gifts and talents you have, are you willing to give of those and be poured out? Or maybe are you willing to say, Lord, just like it said in Scripture, Lord, send me, I'll go. I'm all in. Lord, send me, I'll go. Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do that. That's a part of worshiping the baby Jesus in this season, is saying, Lord, I don't need anything from you, but I'll pour myself out for you. Whatever you call me, whatever you ask me, I will do it. And I'll rejoice because I know you've been faithful in the past, you're good in the present, and you're with me in the future here. Turn with me back to Psalm 68, and I'm going to close with this. Psalm 68, verses 5 through 8, Psalm 62. I want to end on this. The writer of Psalms here, he says this. He says, yes, my soul, find rest in God. My hope comes from him. Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. Amen. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. And I want to end with this. Are you pouring out your heart because God is your refuge? Or is there something else that's your refuge and you're pouring your heart out to that? Don't make the tragic error this Christmas season by pouring your heart out to something that's not going to last. That's not going to be eternal. that can't help you. And as the prophets used to say, that are deaf and dumb idols made of stone and made out of wood by human hands. Pour out your heart to the one who is eternal, who is living, who we can trust in him at all times. 1 Peter 5:7, it's a familiar verse. It says, cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. And in this Christmas season, how many people do you know? I know them at my work, in my neighborhood, that, man, they're casting all their cares on gifts and presents and the lights, things that aren't bad. They're not wrong. It's good things, right? We decorate, right? We have gifts, right? Have fun. That's good. But so many people are casting their cares, thinking, if I get a better present, if I have a better tree, if I get a better job, if I can do this, it's going to solve, it's going to fill that void. Instead of pouring their hearts, instead of coming to the one who can solve everything, like the Magi, they came to find the one who would redeem us and call us by name. Will you cast all your cares on him? The Lamentations, once again, the Lamentations 2:19, that verse says, pour out your heart like water in the presence of the Lord. We need to remember that in this Christmas season, that Jesus gave his all for us. Think about that. We know this. He left God the Father in all power and might. Jesus was all authority. He came down as a baby, had to be tended to, had to grow up. He came for us to redeem us, and he poured himself out. And so I think as it says in Scripture, the only reasonable act of worship for us is to pour our lives back out to him and say, and when we call on him and when we need him, is that we give him all. We give him everything. Even the thoughts we think, man, may not please him, give them to him, because he can redeem our thoughts and help change our thoughts. Or maybe those actions we think, God, I'm going to keep that from you. No, he sees it all. So why not come before him and say, Lord, here's what I've done. Lord, help me. Or give him more praise. Maybe for you here today, maybe you give God praise, it's right here. And you're like, oh, I'm just comfortable giving God the praise right here. Maybe God's asking you to be exuberant in your praise. Or maybe when you worship, maybe he's calling you to a greater level of praise and just thanksgiving. And for some of us, it might mean moving from here to maybe, like we said last week with the lift your hands. Remember we talked about, for some of us, you might start here raising your hand or giving God praise. Or maybe it's a one clap, maybe in your own, by yourself. You know, maybe you don't like being expressive, but maybe God's calling you to be like, hey, give me praise, sing aloud. And maybe for you, it starts with a clap. Whatever it is, pour yourself out before the Father and call on his name. And remember that he is, we sang today, he is Emmanuel, God with us. Why would we not pour out our hearts to the one who is with us and the one who hears our pleas, who hears the pleas of the destitute, who answers and who is faithful in all the things we do? And so today I would encourage you in this season, pour out your heart. Pour out your heart before him and worship him. So here's what we're going to do. We're gonna end. I've got a video we're gonna play, just a worship video, and it's how we're gonna, instead of having call, you know, stand up, but you can stand up or sit. But we're gonna play this video, and you can sing along, pray in your heart. It's an older song. I didn't have time to make a nicer video, but I had to pull it off of YouTube real quick. But it's a song called "You're Worthy of My Praise." It's an old song by Passion, but it's a familiar chorus that's been sung in many churches. But I want you to hear it. It incorporates all this. So go ahead and play that, Ron. And as always, you can sit, stand, kneel, but let's praise him. You can sing along if you want to pray, but let's just end our time here by giving God our praise and pouring our hearts to him. So if you have a need, man, call on him during this song, and let's worship him. So go ahead, Ron. Let's go ahead and pray. I worship with all of my heart.
trust you.
Jesus, we say thank you. We love you. God, we love you. And we rejoice, God, with the brethren around the world. And we lift up your name. God, help us to give you all of our worship, all of our pour out our lives to you, Jesus. And we say thank you that we can bow our knees to you and our eyes can look to the one to where our help comes from. We say thank you. And we praise you, Jesus. God, go with us today in your word and your might. May we remember, God, in this season to worship you, the one who came.